been doing a series on who am I, what is my identity in Christ, what does the Bible say about who I am in Christ. We've talked about being a child of God, about being a new creation, about being a branch of the vine, about being a friend of Jesus, and this morning we're talking about being set free. How one of the things that Christ does is gives us a sense of freedom. Not bondage, not captivity, but freedom. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We are free from condemnation. It always interests me and amazes me how so many Christians seem to major on condemnation instead of freedom. And yet we are set free from condemnation. We're no longer subject to being condemned. We are no longer condemned to hell. If we have trusted Christ, hell is not our destination any longer. We've been set free in Christ. We are not hell-bound. We are heaven-sent. And there's a difference. We're no longer condemned to punishment. We're no longer facing the judgment of eternal separation from God. We are free from that punishment. When I was a little kid, my dad used to travel a lot for work, and I found out later as an adult that he always made sure they brought him home on the weekends. What that means is every Friday we would travel to the Albuquerque Sunport to go pick up my dad from the airplane. And this was back in the days when you'd go to the gate and watch the plane come and land in and watch him get off the plane and walk up to the gate. And there's a phrase my mom used a lot during that time when Dad traveled so much. That phrase was, "Wait until your father gets home." That had a kind of mixed meaning. If we had messed up, you wait until your father gets home. And it would be a long trip back from the airport. But if we actually did something good, good grades on the report card, something else spectacular, hey, wait till your father gets home. And we would stop by Big Boys and have dinner on the way home. Wait till your father gets home. Do you understand the difference of no condemnation of punishment? It's wait till Jesus comes back. You wait till Jesus comes back. That's the way some people express their Christianity, and they miss the boat. They miss the point. We are free in Christ with no condemnation. We are no longer chained by the sin that so easily entangles, that don't stop us from going and hugging the trap again. But we're no longer chained. by the sin that so easily entangles. We are free. We have freedom. And we get to exercise that freedom. We're free to attend church or not attend church. We're free to worship God or not worship God. We're free to study the Bible or not study the Bible. We're free to learn about God or not learn about God. We're free to share the gospel or not share the gospel. We're free. Hopefully that doesn't mean we're also irresponsible. But we're free. The chains are broken. The bonds are gone. There is therefore now no condemnation because we are free. Little corollary note in there. If you've got a Christian friend who majors in condemnation, tell them to memorize this verse, Romans 8:1. And kind of take everything they say with a grain of salt. Because they've missed out on what it means to be free. We were traveling down one of the side roads in western New Mexico on our way home Thursday, and they were doing some construction work. And so we waited for a long time for the one-way kind of thing. You've been at those? They actually had a red light set up to wait for the traffic to come through. And we waited about half an hour. It was a long, lengthy passage of one-way road. And so the traffic was backed up a little bit. And while we're sitting there, there's us in the front, and behind us was a semi-truck. And then The moron comes behind us, sees us stopped on the road with this great big temporary red light posted there, and goes flying around both of us, and all of a sudden sees the flagman. And then he backs up to where he's in front of us. I looked at Sandra, she looked at me, and we said, "He's first." We're free. We can be stupid and do stupid things, but we're free. And there's no condemnation. And why does that even work? Why is that allowed? Why has God let that happen? Because the cross was an offering for our sin. We have sinned. We've messed up. We've blown it somewhere. And here comes Jesus. And here comes Jesus with love and compassion. And he goes to a cross. The cross that Jesus went to was not this happy little decoration we wear as jewelry. The cross we went to is not this happy little decoration we put on the wall. The cross Jesus went to was stained with blood. Had holes in it from where previous people had been nailed to it. Was rough and ugly. And Jesus went to that cross and opened up his arms and allowed them to nail him to that cross where he gave up his life that we might be free. He paid the price for our sin on that cross, that we might find freedom. At what cost freedom? At tremendous cost. He took our place. you want to be a theological about it, it was the substitutionary atonement. If you want to be real about it, I screwed up and he paid for it. I messed up and he took the fall for it. We blew it and he took our punishment. The cross was the offering for sin so that we would be free to walk in the Spirit. He says, we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. That involves a decision. It involves us taking our decision-making capabilities, our will, our free and personal will, and making a choice that we're going to concentrate on the things of God. We're going to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. The decision. But it's more than just a decision, then it's a choice. It's we get to choose, and we choose to choose God. We want to make a difference. So we choose to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And then there's a lifestyle where that choice to set our mind on the things of the Spirit are not just a one-time choice, but it's an ongoing, daily, sometimes hourly and minutely choice to say, I will set my mind on the things of the Spirit. I will do the things of the Spirit. I messed up again yesterday, but today I will do what God wants. I will make a difference in my life because of who God is. I will choose to walk in the Spirit because I am free to walk in the Spirit. We went to Cracker Barrel the other day. Kathy's brother was buried out in Marana Cemetery, so we're out there anyway. And so Sandra and I stopped by Cracker Barrel. And the first choice you have to make is you want the breakfast menu or the lunch menu. We said both. And then you open up the menu. And there's 400,000 different things you can order. And you have to choose. And you know what? Out of the thousands of people that come to that restaurant every single day, every single one of them can make that choice. When the day is over and you leave, there's not still some poor old boy sitting there, been there since breakfast, going, I can't decide, I can't decide, I can't decide. No, everybody chooses what to eat out of 1,000 different choices. And so you talk to Christians. And they're so busy going, I can't decide, I can't decide. Well, sit there in the restaurant till you starve then. No. I can choose to make my heart set on the spiritual and make a difference and live a life that makes a difference because I chose, I exercised my freedom to walk in the Spirit. A decision. Choice and a lifestyle. And so what happens? See, the devil sets a trap. Unfortunately, this one's up on a post, so you're not going to step on it. But if you ever step on one of these things, you're going to remember that. It ain't going to hurt. And there's something interesting about a coyote. If a coyote gets caught in one of these traps, in order to regain his freedom, usually the coyote will chew his own leg off. and run around as a three-legged coyote. But two things happen after that. He never goes anywhere near the trap again. And he never eats the bait that drew him there. And so if you see a coyote trap with old bait on it, they've all learned that's what the guy uses for bait. And so unless he changes the bait, he'll quit trapping coyotes. Because a coyote's got better sense than a lot of Christians. Because we get caught up in some kind of sin or some kind of entanglement or some kind of trap, and we get so excited about being there because we forgot to set our minds on Christ that we just kind of hang around where the trap is. And we hang around with the bait that caught us there. And here comes Jesus saying, "You're free, you're free, you're free. I just want to keep a hand on the trap just in case." And Jesus going, "What's wrong with you? I went to the cross to set you free. What are you doing? Hanging around that trap again. Still, you're free. Who am I? I am set free. I don't have to hang around it anymore. I can choose to set my mind on the things of Christ and make a difference." Let's pray. Father, help us to enjoy our freedom. Help us to recognize and value and appreciate our freedom. Help us not waste our freedom or get caught in the trap again. Help us enjoy living and being free. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.